إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Surah Al Imran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُهْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. Out of this, as I said yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned four different things in this ayat. We looked at one of them yesterday, which was the first one, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every creature, every living being will taste death. Every human being will die, every jinn will die, every malak, angel will die, every tree will die, every animal, bird, beast, reptile, mammal, whatever. Anything which lives will die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. And as I said yesterday, therefore, death is the only haqiqat, that is the only reality, that is the only surety of life. Nothing in life is sure except death. Success is not sure, failure is not sure, health is not sure, sickness is not sure, wealth is not sure, poverty is not sure, power is not sure, lack of power is not, nothing is sure except one thing, which is death. Death is the only certainty in this life. Death will come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to those who deny resurrection, even the ones who deny resurrection do not deny death, because they know it is a reality. But Allah said to those who deny resurrection, say to them, Malakul Maut has been set upon you, وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ, has been set upon you with a task, ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ, and the task is to bring you back to your Rabb, whoever you might be. If there was somebody who could have been exempted from death, that would have been Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there was somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one can say, Allah should have given or could have given eternal life, that he will be alive until the day of judgment, it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But even he would have died on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will... Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even Israfil, the angel who blows the horn, the angel who will signal the destruction of this universe as we know it, even that angel, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Israfil is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not even blink, because he does not want to miss the signal to blow the horn. And when that is done, and when the horn has been blown, and when everything is finished, Israfil will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, only two are alive, you and me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, by my hukum, you die. And he will die. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Who is the Malik today? Who is the king today on this day? And this day is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Al-Wahid wal-Qahhar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from his anger. The point is, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. So the mouth is the haqiqat. Today, unfortunately, because we have gotten used to living in a state of ghaflat, in a state of forgetfulness, in a state where we live as if there is no mouth. We live as if there is no death. And therefore, when death happens, we are very surprised. Whereas we should be not surprised at all. There is nothing surprising about death. There is surprise about everything else. There is nothing surprising about death. But we are surprised because we don't remember that. We forget it. We are so engrossed and so completely embroiled in our day-to-day affairs that we do not think about that one haqiqat, which is actually haqiqat. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah said, and on the day of judgment, you will be paid your wages in full. You will be given your reward in full. Now, two or three things that one has to reflect on this. One is that some reward you will get here. And reward in this case, ajr in this case is used in not in the sense of good or bad. It is used in the sense of return on your investment. So ajr can be jahannam also. I mean, in this case, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you will be paid your reward in full, it does not only mean jannah. It can mean jannah or jahannam. So reward is for whatever you have done. This is the recompense. This is the wages for your actions. So whatever the actions were, wages will be according to those actions. So therefore, one must focus on one's actions. I am going to get my full wages in on the day of judgment, Yawm al-Qiyamah. What am I doing? What are the deeds that I am earning? What am I doing? Now think about our lives, that we have two kinds of problems. One is that we do something which is, we do something which is completely wrong, in the sense of indulging in total haram and lying and cheating and deceiving and Allah knows what. I don't want to make a list of that. But that is one set of the story. There are people who deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. There are people who are committing shirk and so on. So the mushrikeen, kuffar, everyone. Even the Muslims engaging in all kinds of prohibited activities. All of this is one bunch of people who are earning for the day of judgment. You've got another set of people who are not completely earning in terms of total haram, but there is some mixture of this and that, things where they should focus, they don't focus, other things they do. So that's another one. And of course, Salihin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them, are those who are totally focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. They have got no other concern. They say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with me. What about the rest of the world? This one is unhappy, that one is unhappy. Neither that one nor this one is going to come into my cover with me. I will go into my grave alone. This is our reality. We do this every day. We bury our nearest and dearest every day. We are heartbroken. We are devastated. We are shocked. We are weeping. We are out of control. We have to be sedated. But find me one person who went and laid down in the grave of his husband or his wife or his son or his daughter. No matter how, bereaved and how devastated you might be, you go only up to the qabr. That person who you loved so much goes alone. And the same thing will happen to me, the same thing will happen to you. Nobody is going to come into my qabr with me, and nobody will come into your qabr with you. So who are you spending your time trying to please, and for what? There is only one whose connection is never severed. And this ayat is referring to that. There is only one whose connection is never severed. And who's that one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection, the relationship of the Abd and the Rabb is never severed, it's never cut. Every other relationship ends. Every single other relationship ends, no matter what it is. Relationship of parents will end, relationships of spouses will end, relationship of friendship will end, every single relationship will end. Some end before death, but everything ends at death. Khalas, finished, clean. The only thing which remains is the relationship of the Abd and the Rabb. And that is the reason why it is so important to work on that relationship, keep it strong, because that is the only one which is going with us. And because of that relationship, also our relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he is the Rasul of Allah, therefore he is our Nabi, therefore we are his Ummatis, we are going to be called on the day of judgment by that relationship, the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the relationship which will remain with us. So these are the only two. Therefore, what must you focus on? Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla, itaat of Allah, and following the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the only two things which are critically important. Everything else has to be secondary to this. I'm not saying earning your living is not important. I'm not saying taking care of your family is not important. I am saying all of those are important, secondary to this one. Secondary to this one. تَعَلَى اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالِ. Allah is beyond any kind of misal. But just to give you an example, supposing I have to catch a flight now at 7 o'clock in the morning. Right? I've got my ticket, I've got my visa, I've got everything, I've got this important meeting to attend, and I'm going to America or I'm going to UK or wherever I'm going. Either my flight is at 7 o'clock in the morning, which means I must leave at 6 o'clock to get to the airport. Right? And now you tell me, please come to my house, have a meal with me, have breakfast with me. I say, boss, I don't have time. No, no, you are my dearest friend. What do you think I will do? I mean, you can add on to this as much as you want. I will have to say, no, I don't. No, no, I will be very upset. No, please be upset. I mean, you are being highly unreasonable because you should understand that I have to catch this flight. What is there for you to be upset about? Because I don't come to your house. I will come to your house some other time. But the point is that right now, that flight is what I have to catch. And nothing but nothing will come in the way of that. And if it means offending you, I am sorry. I didn't start off by wanting to offend you. I don't want to offend you. But if that is the condition you are putting, then please be offended. No problem. I have to catch my flight. This is what we should do with regard to the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regard to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His orders. If there is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and somebody, our customs, our practices, our society, our relatives and God knows who, if they come in the middle and they say, no, 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 but you see, this is our tradition, this is our custom, you say, boss, please, this is the hukum of Allah. This is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else will be measured. This is the criterion on which we measure everything else to see what is right, what is wrong. We don't do it the other way around. Right? We don't do it. We don't say, well, this is what my grandfather used to do. So now if the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meets with that, then the order of Allah is correct. But if Allah's order is against what my grandfather used to do, sorry, I have to reject the order of Allah. Is this deen? Is this Islam? This is what the mushrikeen of Makkah had. They said, this is the deen of our Aba wal Ajdad. This is the deen of our forefathers. This is the religion of our forefathers. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them, this deen of forefathers is not a deen. The deen is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just because your forefathers did something, no, that is not the criterion is the hukum of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave an order. This order is the criterion. Everything else will be measured on this basis. Why? Because tuwaffawna ujurakum yawmal qiyamah. I am waiting for my reward when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I have to work for this reward. I must work for this reward. That's what this ayat al-karima is saying. The ayat is saying that you will meet Allah. It starts with mouth. Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. So be sure that you will meet Allah. And therefore, and when you meet Allah, you will get reward for your deeds. Therefore, focus on your deeds and do those deeds which will enhance the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, you don't want to be humiliated. You don't want to go on the day of judgment. Please understand this thing. If you go on the day of judgment and if you are asked, why did you do this thing wrong? Oh, my so-and-so told me. I did it wrong because of... Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also in the Quran. Allah said that on the day of judgment, people will say, oh Allah, these people, these leaders of ours, these relatives and family elders of ours, these, the qaideen of ours, they are the people who led us astray, double their azab. And it will be said to them, the azab of all of you is doubled. People will say this. People will say, these are the people. Now, the point is, when they were leading you astray, also you knew this. You went behind them. Nobody forced you. Nobody put a chain around your neck and nobody dragged you down somewhere. They only tried to pressurize you. They tried to, sometimes they might try to sort of emotionally blackmail you or something. But you are a human being, you are a man, you are a woman, you've got a backbone. Stand up and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu ordered this. I'm sorry, are you Allah? You are not Allah. If you are not Allah, I cannot obey you in opposition to Allah. And if you think you are Allah, then obviously there is a major issue, right? We have to stand. If we are not willing to stand, believe me, that is not an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it absolutely clear in the Quran. So kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut wa innama tuwaffawnahum wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawmal qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, death is sure, work so that on that day you will get the maximum benefit. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to live our lives in a way which will give us the maximum benefit when we meet him. The rest of the ayat inshallah tomorrow. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.